turned me up and sat in the middle of the table.
And adjudicating the rights and liability of the cousin through the court. And if you do take the position that that person has to be separately confirmed and he's not, then I think every proceeding after this date will be subject to attack because of the failure to have a properly constituted commission. Now, whether that's our fault or your fault, I don't know, but it's a problem that the state must confront, a very serious problem. And then if I were a litigant, if I were representing a litigant before the APUC, I definitely would raise it, and I think we're going to see it raised. I wish there was some way we could work together to solve it.
Well, has the Attorney General ever recommended, have you considered recommending that we just start over and do it the way that some of us think it might be appropriate, and that's to request the removal of Mr. Sokoloff, and then if that removal was approved by the legislature, then to have Mr. Shore as the governor's designee to take his place?
We haven't, to answer your question, we haven't gone to that stage of strategizing. I will tell you though that initially we were consulted by the governor's office to determine whether the move to the between seats was appropriate. And we looked at the law and saw that there was no assignment of seats, and so we advised them that we thought it was possible to do that and that it did not raise this confirmation issue.
How do you explain the problem that was presented with, as different seats are there for different periods of time? The legislature confirms somebody for the engineering seat for a certain period of time, and then they're moved to another seat which has a different amount of time involved. Doesn't it seem like there's an inconsistency there also?
Well, I don't think so. Because of the way, as I was here earlier, when we considered this early in the session, I told you that part of what I relied upon was an opinion that we did in a related matter concerning the need to confirm department heads. And basically, we have an old opinion on the books that says that once a department head has been confirmed, if he carries over into a new administration, he does not need to be confirmed again. And we have had those situations where you've had, say, a commissioner of some department or the other, he carries over into the next administration as still serving in that office. Our opinion has been that commissioner does not need to be reconfirmed. He's already been confirmed by the legislature. Now, I suppose someone could argue that his term is only as long as the governor's term, 4 years, and therefore when his term is up, he has to be confirmed, or he's only that particular governor's commissioner. But that has been our opinion in the past. So I don't think I reason from that it's not time related more than it is to the individual. It's personal to the individual and to his office.
I was talking about something else, but I'd like to think on it. But it occurs to me that if the legislature approved Mark Foster in the consumer slot, that they review the credentials as a consumer. And if the consumers in the state had realized they were getting an engineer, they would have complained loudly because they did not have a consumer representative. So there's a glitch there in having two engineers on the board at one time, and the consumer seat going for want because you really have an engineer there. And to me, that's why we would need to reconfirm them with engineering credentials and then have that vacated, that consumer seat, and have it resubmitted to the suit if it's open, but Dr. Sokoloff is in contention on. I can't follow the cause of why there are certain requirements in the code. I can't follow why we can just switch the seat that way if indeed the credentials were for a consumer person for that original spot. And I don't know if you were making the point, but I don't see a way where you can change years of tenure in see, I think it's totally impossible. That goes with the suit for purposes of turnover and purposes of historical protection.
Well, I guess. And it seems to me that the simplest doing is to say that if there are designated seats and you have person A in seat number one and person B in seat number two, and then person B leaves, and you want to fill seat number two with person number A, then the simplest thing is just to bring that person to the legislature and say, may person number A sit in seat number two and person number C sit in seat number one. Then you keep it clean, you keep it simple, and that is the simplest way of dealing with it. And that's clearly constitutional to do it that way. Why run the risk of doing it something that's unconstitutional?
If that's a question, I think the better approach, I mean, I'm not saying I have a problem with that, and I think an overabundance of caution is generally worthwhile in this area, since this commission does handle very important matters. You bet. I think a better and far-reaching approach that I think this committee could well take a hand in is actually to pass a bill out that does create seats expressly in the law rather than leaving this uncertainty, which we have now. I mean, if we're going to have designated seats, and I think the legislature has the power to do that, to clarify that for all time. But to merely imply it from the law we have now, I think, is a stretch and would be, Mr. Luckup was talking about us thwarting the power of the legislature, it might be an attempt to thwart the power of the governor. As we do it, we should have that degree of flexibility. As to Representative Cornell's comment, I too am concerned about all of the boards and commissions that we have that have so-called public members on them, and they aren't really members of the public. They're members of the special interest groups that really that these boards and commissions are set to regulate. That's a problem. But it's more, it's a product not so much of any evil intent on the part of the appointing authority as it is a product of finding good qualified citizens who want to take these jobs, you know, for no pay, for very little thanks, long hours. I mean, you probably did it before you were in the legislature, and you know what I'm talking about. That's more, yeah, and you know, so you know what I'm talking about. That's the main problem. It isn't that we're out there trying to do something sinister. It's just that we can't find people. So you, yeah. So I mean, that's more what it's a product of.
Which shows they couldn't find anybody.
I don't mean to infer that.
Okay. Okay. I want to ask one. Go
ahead.
Mr. Baldwin, I want to revisit this carryover argument that when a commissioner carries over from a governor's one term to a second term, they don't need reconfirmation. That doesn't offend me very much. But do you think that if a commissioner was in a second term, would be redesignated in a different cabinet position, say you were commissioner of administration, and then you wanted to change them to commissioner of revenue, do you think they should be reconfirmed then?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Gee whiz, I would think that's real clear.
Well, there is a bit of a distinction. Wouldn't you agree that moving from one cabinet post to another is a lot different than moving within a single entity, which would be the commission? In my view, they're appointed to be a member of the commission. Mm-hmm. And when you're appointed to be the attorney general or the Department of Revenue or something like that, it's quite a bit different type of an office. They're separate offices, but here they're not separate offices. They're members of a single unit, the commission.
But you don't think you're willing to express that position?
Well, no, I'm not, but I do see it something to distinguish it, if I could say that. And I never.
Everything knows now.
The other thing I want to say is we've never stated that this switch lengthens the term of the individual who moves over. We've never said that. And in fact, that was one qualification that we, in our advice to the governor, was that, hey, if anything If you think this is lengthening an individual's term, you're wrong. That doesn't work that way.
And I want to follow up on that, Mr. Chairman. I, unless I missed it somewhere, but I went and reread and reread and reread the statutes, and nowhere do I think we put terms on seats, we put terms on individuals.
Right.
I think that's the whole crux of it. You know, are we talking seats or individuals? If we're talking seats, I think there's some validity to our legal folks. If we're talking people, I think there's a lot of validity to the AG's position. Well, I don't know if they're talking seats or not. Because nowhere are they talking, I mean, in statutes it doesn't even say seats. They're talking individual members. And this thing's yelling at me.
Shooting the booze with.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, not in the statute. I mean, I can't even find the reference. Seats. We're always talking about appointees, individuals, members. There's not even the reference to a seat. So, anyway, it's just something I want to throw up because I don't know if we are talking about seats.
Just maybe to help explain that a little, when Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller, when an individual is appointed or when the PUC Commission was established in 1959 after statehood. It actually existed, something similar that existed before that. There were five individuals appointed to five seats there. And if we had the same qualifications then, I'm not sure, I'd have to look back. But one was for an engineering seat, one for a lawyer seat, and consumer seat, or whatever. Those people, each one of those people, they were probably appointed with staggered terms. We had staggered term provisions even back then, traditionally, when these seats were appointed, so that these seats would expire at different times. And so, say the person who was appointed as the engineer in 1959, his seat expired in 1961, 2 years later. The lawyer seat expired in 1962, and so each year another seat would come open so that all the expertise of the commission wouldn't leave at one time, that you would have people that are familiar with that. So that seat, that engineering seat, gets clearly identified over the years to the individual that's holding that seat. The individual changes over the years. That seat was established as an engineering seat, and every 2 or 3 years when it came time for a new person to be appointed to that seat, the person's term expired, someone was appointed to that same engineering seat over the years. And I guess that's how it sort of works, is when when you just take a brand new board or something like that, you can designate seat A as being the engineering seat, or you could designate seat E as being the engineering seat if you chose to. You would have that ability, but then over time, once those initial appointments are made, those seats become identified with specific terms. And that's where I guess that the confusion arises here.
Just to follow up on that, Mr. Chairman. I think maybe bring up the crux of the situation. Say I'm a lawyer, thank God I'm not. I promise my mother small favors and small favors, right? I kept.
You made the promise?
But I'm also a consumer. I'm appointed to the, you know, because it says that one member shall be a lawyer. I'm appointed to the consumer seat, because I am a consumer, as all these members are, I would hope, are consumers at some point. But it doesn't say, it says one member shall be a lawyer. Okay. I am the seat that you say may be a lawyer. He leaves. There is still would be myself on the board, which is a lawyer. It just asks for one. That's all it asks for. Then all of a sudden, but you say that this seat is a lawyer. I think you could, you know, it just said there has to be one. It doesn't say there has to be two. I think you can appoint that person with anybody. It can be a consumer. It doesn't have to be an attorney seat because there is an attorney on the board. So therefore, you don't have designated seats. It just says one person.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin, that is a valid argument. You
can, that's even a worse.
That's even worse.
Oh, thank you, Judge.
This is Representative Fakes.
Representative Miller.
The only other worse of calling me Representative Davis, which many
call
people did several years ago, but
Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller, that is a valid argument. The idea, though, is that the legislature has not been able to confirm that person who is now occupying that attorney seat, who was previously appointed by the governor to occupy the seat that has been held as a consumer seat someone else was occupying an attorney seat. The legislature did not look into during the confirmation proceedings that person would be occupying the seat requiring legal expertise. The idea of putting a lawyer on there is not necessarily just to have someone who's got a juris doctor degree that believes he's better than everybody else or something like that. The idea is to put someone on there with legal expertise that may be able to extend that expertise to the commission. You would want someone who has probably practiced law then. The mere fact they are a lawyer licensed to practice law, and they may not practice law, would be significant, I think, to the legislature making a confirmation decision. In a situation where that person was appointed to the seat as a consumer, the legislature did not examine or have the opportunity or notice that that person would then be at some later point in time be occupying a seat or be the person with the designated lawyer qualifications on the board. And so I think that ends up becoming a distinction. But
that's not the true history of the commission. I mean, we all know that Sterling, what's his name?
The ideal situation.
He was a lawyer, but he didn't practice law.
Right.
He was on there for 4 years.
But they had the chance to review it. Legislature had the chance to consider that.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, just maybe very, very briefly, I guess it's coming down is that if you go under a scenario that seats are designated, I think the argument makes a lot of sense. If you go under the scenario that you don't think the seats are designated, it's going with the end of, that you have to have an attorney of that, then it doesn't make any sense. And the more I get into it and reading what is actually on the statute, I don't believe the seat is designated. So that's my personal opinion, 1 out of 60 in the legislature.
Anything changed at all, let me say.
I have Representative Farnelli with the agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To follow some of what you were saying earlier, not quite on this one, but if Commissioner of Commerce were with the governor for 4 years, the governor won re-election, and Commissioner Thomas just stayed on, then do you feel Commissioner needed to be resubmitted to the legislature?
No, that's what our opinion has been.
Okay.
That he does not need to be resubmitted.
And then, and this is a little different from what we talked about earlier, but did that concept, and is it in here maybe, did that concept not apply then to Dr. Sokol?
Follow the question.
Dr. Sokoloff is serving for 4 years, and the governor just wanted him to continue. And if the governor didn't submit it to the legislature, and the new governor didn't submit it to the legislature, Dr. Sokoloff is performing in that particular position and continues on, then it doesn't have to be submitted to the legislature under your approach.
Right, but his appointment was, this goes back to what we were saying earlier in the session, but his appointment has been withdrawn, or his nomination has been withdrawn and not forwarded on, so he's no longer there.
Not seen a letter on withdrawal, but I've not seen a letter transmitting his name either. So you've left us and lived in Everland.
Was there a letter of withdrawal?
No, there was never a submittal, never a transmittal of his name.
But that was my question. Was there a letter withdrawn?
I don't know that. I assume there was some kind of a communication to Mr. Sokoloff, but I'm not.
There's no notification.
The letter appointing Schreier would have to be read as a letter of withdrawal.
I presume
so. I guess
so.
I don't know the answer to this, but there was no letter to the other gentleman that was moved from one seat to another either. There was never any. It was just a phone call.
Yeah, I don't know that. You'd have to talk to...
You never got a letter. Some of us, and I don't know all of you, but at least I know I am hung up on procedural kinds of things. And if procedures were correctly administered, I probably wouldn't have it, but I would do it. But I don't see all of that taking place. And if someone, you or maybe my class, wouldn't be simple just to go back and do it all correctly, maybe we'd make much more headway and stop spending a whole lot of time.
Or we wouldn't clarify the law.
Pardon me?
Or we wouldn't clarify the law by the letter, by the legislature.
Do you agree with me?
I'm looking at the section 04. Members shall be qualified as follows. One member shall be a graduate of an accredited school of law. One member shall be a graduate of an accredited university. One member shall be a graduate of an accredited university. Two members shall be members of the students. The way that statute is drafted seems to me clearly to imply, first, that they are different people. In other words, it wasn't contemplated by the drafting that the lawyer could also be an engineer and occupy two seats, two qualifications simultaneously. That was not contemplated the way the thing was drafted. Mr. Baldwin, do you
at the minimum expand those?
Well, that's possible, yes. But what we did have on this commission, we all must admit, is someone who was qualified as a consumer and as
wait,
an engineer.
Wait, just follow me. I mean, let me ask the question, okay? Do you agree with that reading that this contemplated that different people would occupy the different qualifications?
My limited yes and no answers now.
Yes.
I believe that is contemplated, yes.
Then the question is, given the history that Mr. Lockhoff has cited, which I think would be persuasive to the court, not the way this thing has been run in the last 30 years, would be something that the court would take judicial notice of.
Well, I don't think he has the history quite correct because it doesn't happen as neatly as he relates. What happens is that you have people who leave before the end of their terms, and so you have openings, simultaneous openings in these for these positions. And so the governor has an opportunity. It doesn't all come in seriatim, you know, the way things go click, click, click. What you have are people who leave before the end of their term. You have a number of vacancies up, and the governor, you know, has a choice. That's the way it happens.
I understand. Assume that there may have been a situation where an engineer and a lawyer, for the purposes of discussion, left at the same time, and an engineer and a lawyer were appointed. And it wasn't specifically that you are appointed to the engineering seat or you are appointed to the law seat. Given that gloss on the Lockhoff history, that is in fact the way it has occurred, right?
That they are appointed to the specific seat, or?
No. I'm saying that as I understand it, they are, if there's only one seat open, the record would show that if there's an opening for a lawyer, that they have appointed a lawyer for that seat in the past. However, if there's an opening for a lawyer and an engineer, then they will nominate an engineer and a lawyer, and they won't say it's for this seat or that seat.
Right, because somebody may be willing to serve for a longer term or may only want to serve for a shorter term. It's more related to term than it is to qualifications as the seats. The way it's
given that, I'm just trying to make sure that our record is clear. And that, let us say, in the past, there has been a vacancy
that had been filled by a lawyer and a vacancy that had been filled by an engineer. They would, in each case in the past, they would have appointed mm-hmm. people with those qualifications.
To certainly to execute the law appropriate where they would, yes.
Okay. Has there ever in the past been an attempt on this commission to appoint somebody similar to the situation we have before us, where there is a person already on the board with a certain qualification in a different seat, and an attempt to appoint somebody new who does not have the qualification for the open seat? Has any governor ever attempted to do that in the past?
I don't know.
Are you aware, either of you aware of any circumstances where that has occurred?
I'm not aware of any. Usually what you have, you know, you have like a qualification that's just about everybody's satisfied, like a consumer. I mean, you and I consume, right? So I guess we're both consumers as well as being lawyers. So you have those kinds of situations all the time, or a public member. I mean, we're all, I mean, I think it's harder for someone who's a member of the electric power industry to be considered
we're
a member.
We're not talking about the general.
That sort of thing.
We're talking about the professional seats. This is a professional.
Has there somebody ever been appointed who was not a lawyer? Or, I don't think so. I mean, we all are charged with enforcing the law and complying with it, so we do. I assume that's always been done, but I don't know for sure.
Would not a court look and find persuasive the history of the way seats have been filled in the past on this board? Wouldn't the way things have been done, as we say in administrative
traditionally not always that,
the agency common law, wouldn't that be given considerable weight?
It might be considered a contemporaneous construction or something like that. To
that's my point.
It might be. It depends on what the history is. Again, we haven't gone back and looked at it in detail, but I think what you're going to find is that for a lot of these boards and commissions, for example, the Fish Board, you know, we had a terrible time straightening out the various terms of individuals and how they got the way they got. And basically, they got that way because of multiple vacancies and governors would come in and the whole boards would resign. I think the same thing is probably true with the APUC. There have been multiple vacancies and the specialties have been moved between different seats depending on when those terms expire more than anything else. And so the terms have been mixed up as far as the seats go and all that sort of thing, and that's what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got on my list of the candidates in March. Mr. Luckett, did you have something you want to say there?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I need to get up to another theory. I'm something completely different. But I just, and I agree with Mr. Baldwin that things don't always occur as that example. That was only, I was only trying to provide an example initially of what, how things started out. The idea, though, is that something else that comes into this is when someone resigns before their term is up on the commission, someone may only be appointed to take their place for the remainder of that person's term. Okay, so if that person that resigned was an engineer, it says in the statute that a person appointed to replace a person who has resigned will serve the remainder of that person's term, whose term he took. And so we aren't running into a situation where you can just switch the seats around. That person that takes office at that point must serve the remainder of that person's term when that person resigns early. He can only serve the remainder of that person's term, and then he could be appointed to a new term. Part of the problem we've had in the past, though, is that governors sometimes, when someone resigned, they just appoint somebody new to a new four-year term or something like that. And that was one of the trouble with the Fish Board. I did some research on that and went back and finally found an error back in the 70s of where someone was appointed to a new term, where they actually extend all the way back, I think, to 1959 or 61, somewhere a very long time ago, where I finally found a mistake where someone was mistakenly appointed, or in this case, someone was not reappointed to a term and served an extra year on the term, actually, and where the flaw in the whole system developed for a while there and why the seats seemed to be screwed up. Instead of two seats coming open one year and two the next year and three the next year or whatever, there were four opening up one year, which it shouldn't have happened. And so that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always work perfectly.
I think I got the point.
Okay. And the only other quick point I had is that, you know, I agree with Mr. Baldwin about, you know, the idea of the PUC board having being in a state of flux or something like that. It would be good to clean them up, but there is a difference between a de facto and a de jure officer. A de jure officer is one that actually holds a seat by right of law. A de facto officer holds office in name only, or that his office is later found to be incorrect, that he shouldn't be the one in there. Usually the way the law works is that de facto officer has right over everybody. His decisions as a member of the PUC board would not usually be subject to overturning just on that ground, but he could be removed from office. And I would like to run upstairs if I could have the permission.
On the point, and I agree with him, when only one seat comes up, and I think Representative Broomberg was trying to get to this, you have that situation where it's pretty clear, and unless you want to take the other person and switch them, which is different, but let's assume that two seats come up, an engineer seat is up, and that engineer has 2 years left on their term. Mm-hmm. An attorney comes up, and they have 4 years left on their term. It is totally conceivable, in my way of thinking, that the governor could appoint an engineer for the remainder of the four-year term, which was previously the engineers, and vice versa. They both have to come to the legislature for confirmation. And that, to me, seems to be, if that has happened in the past, because what Mr. Baldwin was saying is maybe he can find an attorney that he wants to serve, if the attorney will only serve for 2 years, even though it's the engineer's seat, if you want to call it a seat. And that's the case, if that's happened in the past. If there is a situation like that where someone has been switched, then it would indicate to me that it is not a seat, but a member. And that's the possibility, and that's why I'm saying that would, and I don't think the legislature at that point would necessarily even argue. I mean, two people would come to us, one as an attorney, one as an engineer, we'd look at their background, and they would both be on the board. And obviously when the attorney, you don't.
The attorney will.
anyway, you want to finish?
I'm sorry.
No, that's my point, okay. Is that it's possible that, I mean, there will always be an engineer and an attorney, and it doesn't mean that,
okay. If you look at 030B, an appointee, second section, appointee selected to fill a vacancy shall hold office for the balance of the full term for which the appointee's predecessor will
for the full term for which the appointee's predecessor.
Right, and if the appointee is an engineer, you couldn't say that the person's predecessor was a lawyer.
I would say that the term refers to the amount of time that they're serving, not to the qualifications. And that's what, I mean, I think, and that's where I'm making the differentiation. Because it talks of terms of office under this one, the qualifications come in the next section, which are further down.
Okay, Representative Martin, and then we're going
to. Yeah, I have two things. It looks like we're going down in circles on the two major points, and I was wondering what your game plan is.
Well, there's a motion before us. All this debate is on Representative Ellis's motion to incorporate Mr. Luckup's opinion into our earlier letter and to forward that regarding
what about when you're going to have the balance? Like, before I do that, why not put in the AG's opinion in there too?
Well, that would be, if you want to move to amend the motion, you can do that. But that's the motion before.
Because I think that's important to consider on the motion. to consider the AG's opinion too, because you don't want to get to the full body, just one side.
Well, see, that's the whole point. We're taking a position, right?
Yeah, but the position is, you want to say yes, the opinion from Gary and Mr. Lopez, right? And I'm saying put both opinions in there.
Okay, so you're speaking against the representative.
Okay. Well, wait, one other thing, Mr. Chairman, on that. I don't think we have to be limited to the strict, narrow concept that Mr. Bloomberg is bringing forth on what it says there. You know, you have flexibility. There's nothing to say that a person can't be appointed who's an engineer, consumer, and lawyer all three at once. And Mr. Gruenberg seemed to be saying you can be just this, you can't be that. You can be just this, you can't be that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can be more than one, and so the higher qualified person you get, wonderful. And I'm going to bring that out.
Well, I think Representative Hanley pointed it up that we can have a situation where you have two people coming up and actually, you could reverse the appointments that you're fulfilling the requirements of the board, and if that happens, therefore, you shoot the whole concept of designated seat. So therefore, I would, at this time, I would tend to be against incorporating this letter, but then again, it's a committee decision.
Well, I think we've had the debate, and we all know the motion before.
The amendment on the motion first?
Oh, did you make an amendment?
Yes. To incorporate the AG.
Right, well, then the amendments before us.
You can type that out.
Point of order. The amendment is the exact opposite of the motion. And the amendment is out of order.
Well, I.
The amendment is to add the opposition point of view.
I agree with you, but.
Mr. Chairman, I just, in objection to the minute for the amendment, just point out that. These materials are all public documents that are available to the body and can be made available as the conference goes through the process. The motion, the original motion was to take a position, and I think everybody understands that.
So
by not including the attorney general, which I agree is just the opposite, I mean, they're competing things, and we can't take a position on both things. But if Representative Martin's concern is about providing information to the body, that can happen. We're not precluding that with this action, with the main motion.
Chairman, on the amendment, was it not that this is to go to the body, the full body, for the joint hearing?
It's a recommendation.
Okay, and I'm saying if you're going to give one recommendation, which is one point side of the picture, give both of them. I think by this committee only allowing one point of view, by Mr. Lockhart, he's ever right entitled to that point of view, we may be misleading the majority of the citizens who have to vote on it, the other legislatures.
Okay, I can understand what's your opinion. I mean, could committees take positions on every bill and every matter that comes before them? And it's all subject to debate. And I know you're going to express very articulately your opposite point of view when we get to the floor. So, I mean,
I'd probably shut up.
Well, I guess
the amendment
made an amendment. So let's vote on the amendment. All in favor of Representative Martin's amendment? All opposed? All right, so we're back to the main motion. All in favor of the main motion? All opposed? So, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It was a good debate. I appreciate it. It was a good quality. Okay, the votes, it was the first motion failed 3-4. With Representative Miller, Representative Martin, and Mr. Hanley vote in favor of the amendment. The second motion passed, and a 4-3 vote. The Representative Miller, Representative Donnelly, Representative Ellis, and Representative Carnell in favor.
Thank you.
Amen.